So I would just like to remind everyone in this trying times, because we are in America, the home of free speech. J.K. Rowling is a Holocaust denier. Send it to all your friends. How's everyone doing?
J.K. Rowling really came out to be a piece of shit, didn't she?
A little bit. Oh, that's it. She's Streisanding affecting herself by doing that, by the way. Because that's literally every single quote tweet to that person be like, well, I didn't actually mean it. It was just everyone's pointing out that she's a Holocaust denier with receipts. Like, look, yeah. I hate being in America, but when it comes to the UK, fuck the UK.
You can't fuck the UK just because of J.K. Rowling. Come on.
No, I'm saying it because of their stupid bullshit policy that anyone can just sue anyone for what's, quote, libel if they have enough money. Also, their breakfasts also suck.
I'll give you that one. I met a couple of people from the UK WrestleMania weekend. They were all lovely people.
I know a couple of UK people that were in there for WrestleMania time.
We all know a few UK people that we adore, but doesn't mean the entire country, just like our own, is all sorts of fucked.
Everyone has their own mistakes.
J.K. Rowling is the UK's biggest one.
How was WrestleMania weekend, man? You were there in person, bumping shoulders.
Yeah, I didn't get to do any of the independent stuff that weekend. We stuck with the WWE stuff, but that was a lot of fun. Just the atmosphere being there, both Night of Mania, being there for Stand and Deliver, the WWE World was a lot of fun, even if it was a little crowded at times. Yeah, my son had a great time, which is the most important thing. So yeah, I would definitely do it again if they're within driving distance again.
So have you done a WrestleMania before?
No, that was my first.
Okay, I was going to ask if you prefer the two nights over to the one really long night.
I can guarantee you I prefer the two nights to the one really long night. Even night one was pushing 4.5 hours, and that was pushing about as long as I want to get at one wrestling show. So
some of those before they split them up went so fucking long. I feel like it was like a 9-hour deal at one point.
I would rather go to a nine-hour AEW show than a WWE show at any point in time.
That's a given.
The one guy who came in front of me came in from the UK with his second Mania, and he was at 35, which was the 7.5-hour one at Mania where Ronda Rousey, Charlotte, and Becky main evented. And he's like, I really wanted to see that main event, but that was such a long night, I didn't care anymore. Yeah, he preferred the two nights for what it's worth.
Well, I'll tell you what took me way more than two nights is to beat Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Spoilers! Warning! Spoilers! Spoilers! Spoilers!
Oh, fuck that final boss fight. That fucking six goddamn stages of Sephiroth. Like, no, you get three tops. After that, go fuck yourself. At least give me a chance to get out of it and fucking reheal my golf and shit.
Boy, these series of games are sure turning out to be one of the best sequels ever. Because these games are sequels.
I enjoyed the game up until that final fight. I got so pissed off at that final fight. And it would be one thing if, like, okay, well, you've fought two or three stages of this. Go ahead and save real quick. Heal up. No, it's six fucking consecutive goddamn stages cut out of fucking save point. And if you die in the fucking six goddamn stage, you're fucked.
But here's the thing. You get to play as Zack. You get to play as Zack. They gave him... You only play as him twice, and they gave him his own fucking set of mechanics. That's fucking wild. Including a special synergy attack with Cloud.
Yeah, Zack was fun to play with. And his stage was one of the fucking simplest ones. Because of the fight mechanic.
That level 3 meteor shot is the sickest shit ever.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Chocobos. If you listen to Marcy's Arcade on Patreon, my second episode, yeah, stunning revelation from Vic Vice that his dad has a never-ending hatred of the Chocobos. And I can just not think about, man, how much Chocobos rock while playing this game.
Vic Vice is a very complicated guy. I'm learning more and more.
That's, you know, like maybe he gets it from his dad. He doesn't hate Chocobos. I don't get how anyone could hate a Chocobo if you're asking me, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not... There are times that they have Chocobo minigames in the Final Fantasy games that I'm not fond of, though, but Chocobo can go whole, I'm okay with.
Oh, okay, so I get why in the original 7 people would hate the racing, because it's kind of nothing. But they just made it like Mario Kart in this game. It's... You're fucking drifting with your Chocobo. It's wild.
Yeah, definitely better in this game than in the original. Although I really am not a big fan of throwing in a mini game. Oh, by the way, this mini game that means really doesn't mean much. It's mandatory to get past this particular point. It's not going to actually matter to the story, but you have to play. You have to win it. Fuck you.
I actually really liked all the mini games.
The only game-related thing I want to talk about is that the Fallout TV series was fucking amazing, and I hope it gets 10 seasons.
I hear there's sex in it.
There is a single solitary sex scene that you don't even see anything in.
Boo.
But then they also like reference like the one guy, Maximus, I'm pretty sure is like has the idiot savant special. He's just fucking dumb. And he doesn't know what sex is, and he thinks that his penis exploding is a bad thing. And it's pretty funny.
I heard they kind of erased New Vegas a little bit.
They did not.
Okay, good.
The only thing that they bitched about with New Vegas is the timeline not making sense, but they literally focus so heavy on it at the end. And then also what they set up for next season is super heavy New Vegas. It really is. So
I'll have to watch it then. I'm legally obligated to.
They're absolutely not retconning or getting rid of New Vegas, I promise you. Like, holy shit, I didn't even play that game all the way through, and it was very heavy on it. But everything else that they touched on was really fucking great. Like, you didn't have to play any of the games to get any of the stuff. Like, the story was just told really fucking well. It's so good. Like, X-Men 97 has been my favorite thing this year. Fallout's like right there at number two, though, like so close to passing it. It's so good.
I'll have to check it out.
Highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
Everyone on Twitter that's saying the ghoul is there, hear me out. Get spicier takes. Come on. It's Walton Goggins. That's a layup.
The ghoul story is like the best part of the show. I love his character. And now people think that he might be the mysterious stranger that always used to show up. They think he might possibly be the mysterious stranger. So,
okay.
Which 50-50 on how that would work, because they always kind of showed it as like a person that wasn't a ghoul. But
if you go through the timeline of the games, they're so like wildly far apart that it could in theory just be different.
Well, that's the other thing, is like a lot of these characters are like maybe in their 30s or 40s, and this is like hundreds of years after the bombs dropped, but they were alive when the bombs dropped. So it really makes you question, like, how the fuck does any of this make any sense? But like it's interesting. I like it. But if you don't think too hard on certain aspects, it's really fun.
Well, I'm not good at thinking, so that works.
There you go. I did watch some West Coast Pro yesterday. There was a really good lucha match, and then I watched this Gumbo Rumbo Battle Royal that Derek was in for, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes, and he did not win. Beef won it, and so I was kind of bummed about that, but yeah.
Gumbo Rumbo.
Was the prize Gumbo?
This Gumbo Rumbo was this actor from I Think You Should Leave. They were doing like a benefit for him because he has cancer. Okay. And he was on commentary for the match, and like it was pretty good. It was different. He was like very much a person that you could tell has never really watched wrestling before, and was like really just like having a good time with it. So it was good. It was cool.
Those are the best commentators, to be
fair. For sure.
At least guest commentators. I think if it was a whole show of someone doing that, it would get annoying. But as a guest, every so often, I appreciate that.
I know that Snoop Dogg is watched, but his commentary on night two, that was the time.
Hell yeah.
I really have to get back and rewatch it. I have not watched any of it back yet. I've heard something about it.
Yeah, his commentary was really fun. He was having a blast with it.
Somebody would tell me night one that the crowd was dead for Becky and Rhea. I'm like, no, they weren't. Well, it counted that they were loud.
The sound was bad because it also made Motionless and White sound like shit. So, and then everybody was shitting on them the whole time.
Isn't that just how they sound?
I don't know. I was threatened with violence when I said such things.
If you're going to name your fucking band after one of the best 18 Vision songs ever, don't fucking miss.
But it's IW God.
I'm Marcy.
I'm the Tony Cott of this podcast. I'm Butters.
When are you going to make your own sleaze list? Are you going to make an IW Guide sleaze list?
It would just be things about you.
Yeah, and we can decide if they're true or not.
We know they're true. We have to defeat the purpin. I am the Hall of Famer, Jayhawk.
I am certified new girl, Jess.
I'm not going to say it. No, I'm not going to say it. Shout outs. Zach, Chris, Andrew, and Brock. And our special shout out, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Patty is very serious about the energy drink fountain happening at 420. So
We gotta practice that, I think.
She is buying us energy drinks to make it happen, and yeah, she
I'm
thinks
kind of
it'll
gonna
be
miss
really
that.
funny, and I'm kind of regretting that joke now.
You should know by now. You live by the joke, you die by the joke. If I had to explain what gridlock is, you got a fountain it, baby boy.
Me being shirtless, spitting energy drink into Jess's mouth while you lay on the ground and absorb whatever doesn't get caught by Jess is just not what I was planning on doing on 420, honestly.
It's, you know, it's going to be an eventful holiday.
Yeah, but what people normally do on 420, you don't do. Oh, I mean, you have to kind of make compromise and complain.
Well, I would, but I'm just not allowed. It sucks. I wish I could. And you know they're for sure going to test us on Monday. So,
just
although,
carry
oh, yeah,
it just would be carry out.
It would be out of our system because they do the mouth swab, so it would be out by then anyway. So,
I was gonna say just carry fake piss with you, but you don't even have to do that.
Actually, I take that back because I think it's like 3 days that it's in the saliva. So no, it would I would have to call off a couple days. I'm not gonna do that. So,
yeah, they're 2 days that you can guarantee they're gonna be drug tested. The first day after 420, and the day after the Super Bowl.
And they didn't do it after the Super Bowl this year. Surprisingly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, surprisingly. They've been doing a lot more randoms, and it's mostly on the new people. Anyway.
What's on this weekend?
All right, over on Triller TV, powered by Fight, for Saturday, April 20th at 7:30 p.m., AIW presents When the Smoke Clears from the Tadmore Shrine in Akron, Ohio. Isaiah Broner defending the absolute championship against Sam Hardway Holloway. Tyler Jordan against Josh Prohibition, 2 out of 3 falls. Alec Prick against Nick Royal. Magnum CK Derek Dillinger in a dog collar match. Joshua Bishop against Jacob Bain, and much, much more. I'm sad I'm going to miss this. I'm going to have to watch a replay on Sunday. The show looks so goddamn good.
Yeah, it's pretty stacked. Unfortunately, the tag team match with the Chikara Legends, one of them was injured and had to get removed, but they brought in somebody else to replace him, and it's the motherfucking Ultra Mantis Black.
Let's fucking go! I'm so excited.
Ultra Mantis Black returns to AIW, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of Lou Freightmare, but that's about as good a replacement as you're going to get. So.
Yeah, as soon as I heard, I was like, oh, they should just get Ultra Mantis Black. I was that's the only other guy I really know that still wrestles that's like... was part of like a deal with them, and yep, that's who they got. I was like, fuck yeah.
I got to see him at the one Bill Alfonso hardcore tournament. I'm like, I need some more of this.
Fun story. He came up to me unmasked, introduced himself. I didn't realize who it was because I was talking with Sposto. And then later on, I couldn't find him again. And then I realized, oh, that's who's under that mask. So yeah. So
yeah, that happened to a friend of mine at Cauliflower Alley the 1 year that Jushin Thunder Liger was there. He's talking to a Japanese guy in the locker room. I just figured he could Japanese guy, and it turned out to be Liger. Like, he found out like half an hour later that he'd been talking to Liger the whole time.
Oh boy. It's so wild. Like, I just love it. I love it so much.
It actually happened to me when Fuego del Sol did Dropkick Diabetes last year too. Like, he's unmasked, but he's introducing himself at Fuego. I was like, holy shit.
All I know is to hype me up, I'm going to be listening to the album Ultra Mantis Black by the band Ultra Mantis Black, featuring Ultra Mantis Black.
Okay, well, getting back to what's on here before time gets away from us, get into GCW Doubleheader Weekend, Saturday, April 20th at 11 p.m. with How High, and Sunday, April 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time with Breaking GCW 2024. And the lineup for that Sunday show features, among other matches, Mance Warner against Cam Stackhouse, Joey Janela against Fuego del Sol, Billy Stark against Dark Sheik, Nick Gage against Broski, and much, much more.
All right, and over on IWTV, a big show on Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time as Dreamwave presents their 9th anniversary show, featuring for the Dreamwave title, Christian Rose defends against Gringo Loco, for the Dreamwave Women's Championship in a triple threat of Brittany Brooks defense against Zeta Steel and Maggie Lee. A TLC match for the Tag Team Championships, The Hype take on Wasted Youth. The Hype versus Wasted Youth versus is Mandris his own team, maybe? Because he's only listed as one person. So maybe he's his own team. He's beefy enough to wrestle as a team. Also featured Dante Leon versus Black Torres versus Rez versus Steven Wolf, Bobby Orlando versus Connor Hopkins, plus Channing Thomas, Miyu Yamashita, Tara Zepp, and much more.
Doing interviewing.
Marks on the internet that ask the questions that they think are cool to ask.
Tonight's guest, he is the reigning and defending 880 champion, amateur wrestler Reese Hayes. Does that make you a pro wrestler at this point? You're not an amateur anymore because you're the champion.
It's true. I've been paid for this. So I guess in some circles that would make me a professional, but I haven't been paid much. So I don't know where the cutoff is.
That's fair.
Yeah. Appreciate using the full name though. You know, most people just go with Reese Hayes or the amateur wrestler. I get that a lot. It drives me insane. You know?
No. Oh, come okay, on. Well, we gotta do the whole thing.
Give okay, me your proper respect.
Okay, so I'm assuming amateur wrestler is not a gimmick. That's a shoot. So tell me a little bit about your amateur wrestling career.
Oh yeah, I mean it's okay. So we're shooting here. I guess the truth of it is it's both a gimmick and a shoot. The shoot bit is that I wrestled in 7th and 8th grade. 7th grade, I had a record of 1 victory and 10 losses. My first match was a win, and then I lost every match after that. And then my second year, I did a little better. It was like 10 and 15 or something. So not great. But that was definitely that big losing streak was for sure the idea for the character or the whole, you know, name and everything.
And that's kind of how your pro career started. You got out of that big losing streak in 880, and then all of a sudden you start winning matches. Now you're 880 champion.
Yeah, it's been good. Winning's definitely more fun than losing, it turns out. I had no idea. It took me a long time to learn that.
Being at the show where you beat Shaw Mason, but then they reversed the decision was... Oh, I was so angry. I actually was so caught up in that and was so happy that you won. And I was so, so very angry that they reversed the decision. But it was...
Yeah, that was cool. That was the first time that anyone's thrown trash in the ring right after a wrestle. That was fun. And yeah, I got to own Shawn Mason's medals for like 45 seconds. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a fantastic match too. I we say that as Shawn Mason fan too. Like we love Shawn Mason, and we were pissed that they changed that division. That would make it great.
Yeah, I've still never beat Shaw. We've wrestled, I guess, only twice, but he has 2 victories over me still. We got to run it back sometime.
Okay, now did you do any kind of sport other than wrestling?
Yeah, I played soccer a lot. You know, I did like track for a little while. I did like a day of cross country and then didn't like that. I did a lot of stuff when I was really young, you know, like basketball, flag football, all that stuff. I went to a really small high school in like the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. And so we were lucky to kind of be able to play whatever sports we wanted. And so I jumped around a lot, but soccer was the big one for me. And then later I got like into rock climbing, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, I was just been trying to stay active. There was a while there in my 20s where I wasn't doing much of anything at all. So I'm happy to be turning that around.
I'm actually kind of jealous because you brought up all the sports you did in school. And I'm like, we had baseball, football, basketball, pretty much. Like we didn't, I wish we would have had wrestling. We tried to get a wrestling team and the school didn't think there was enough interest in it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Little town in Pennsylvania, wrestling was pretty big. A bunch of the guys that I wrestled with went to Penn State and, you know, did really well there. But yeah, wrestling and football were like the two big sports at my school. And I probably should have kept with wrestling, but I gave up once my brother started. My brother's older than me, and he started wrestling when I would have been a freshman. And I was like, well, I'm not doing it anymore. And so that was the end of that career.
Yeah. Now, what out of those other sports you played, is there anything from those that you take into your pro wrestling career?
I don't know. I guess a little bit of everything. You know, I hadn't played soccer since I was 18, and which was, you know, almost 10 years ago now. So my like conditioning from that probably wasn't quite there anymore. Yeah, and I don't use my forearms as much in wrestling as I did in climbing. So I don't know. I think it's just like kind of the discipline of being on a team was good to grow up with. And, you know, all that general stuff. But now pro wrestling is very different from anything I've ever done. It's a whole different beast, and there's not much that can prepare you for it.
So it sounds like we shouldn't expect any punt kicks in your repertoire for a good while.
Nah, not until I start wearing kick pads. I don't want to break my shins. Probably not.
Okay. Oh, I have to ask the question, having been in the ring with both, do you prefer Beastman or Cool Beastman?
Oh, so I've never faced Cool Beastman. So right off the bat, I definitely prefer Cool Beastman in every way. I mean, his entrance music's a lot of fun. His glasses are cool. He's got some interesting catchphrases. Yeah, Beastman's scary, though. I was unlucky enough to wrestle Beastman 2 weeks in a row. And, I mean, you know, he's incredible, but I don't want to do it again. That's for sure. Two is plenty. So, yeah, Cool Beastman I got to team with once, though, and that was a lot of fun. I would do that again anytime.
All right, and I got one more real quick here, then I'll pack it off to whoever wants to go. WrestleMania weekend, Edith Gurriel. Forgive the fun, but that had to be kind of a surreal experience for you.
It was wild. I mean, yeah. I mean, the whole lead up to it, we were really concerned that it wasn't even going to happen. There were a lot of miscommunication, a lot of changes with the venue. We were supposed to go on at 11 p.m. and then they were, you know, got back to us with like these noise ordinances. You know, they're going to shut us down. It was like a whole bunch of stuff. And then even when we pushed up to 4 p.m., it was, you know, we almost had to change venues. The whole thing was a mess. So, like, I wasn't sure that it was going to happen. Oh, and then we get there. We get to the Yuki Club in Philly. And I drove with Nyx Wild and the Dead of Desire. And we pulled up and, like, MV and the ring truck and a bunch of the Smash Master Wrestling dudes, they're all there. And they're all just standing out in the sidewalk. And we're like, oh, what's going on? And so, like, we park, we walk down, and they're like, we can't get into the building. And we're like, it's like, it's probably 1:30, almost 2 o'clock at this point. You know, the show starts at 4. And yeah, they're like, yeah, we're supposed to be in it at 1:30 or 2 or whatever, and no one's come. We didn't get into the building until 3:20 or 3:30. So we had to build that ring, you know, get dressed, like the whole thing in like less than an hour. I mean, obviously I had more time. I don't think Edith even got to the venue until 4:15 or 4:30 or something. But so that was a mess. But yeah, the whole experience was really great. We had a pretty good little crowd come out. Wrestling in a 14-foot low boy was an interesting experience. But Edith was great, and it was a tough loss for sure, but I had a lot of fun, and that whole experience was pretty awesome, especially for just being in my, you know, second year of wrestling.
Yeah, that's why I never want to be a wrestling promoter, because stuff like that happens. Like, I would be flipping out if we were less than an hour from bell time, and I'm not even in the building yet.
I mean, definitely. We were all kind of getting antsy at that point, but, it, you know, it's not, you just have to kind of take it and hope that it all works out. And luckily it did work out, but yeah, that was a mess.
Set it up on the sidewalk. Let's go.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if you know anything about parking in Philadelphia, but that's not going to work either. You got to have room to do that shit.
So I just want to know, is Bigfoot real?
I mean, I believe in Bigfoot. I'm certain that it's real. Can I ask why you're asking this, though?
I was going to lead up to my next question, because I saw on your YouTube page, Dashing Agent, or the Twitter handle, Dashing Movies, you seem to enjoy making movies. So I wanted to ask a little bit about that, about how you got into it.
Yeah, filmmaking's been my, I you know, for lack of a better term, like my big passion forever, since I was like 10 or 12. I probably started watching wrestling first, but I knew pretty early on that I was too small. But movies were always the thing that's kind of where my head's been. And that's how I got into wrestling later, too, was I was shooting ringside for Enjoy. But yeah, it's just something I do. I make a lot of short films and web series and some bigger movies, and kind of just keep that plugging along whenever I have the time and the money to do so.
Is there anything, especially, like you said, you like to do a lot of short films. Is there any like genre you specifically tend to gravitate to, you like doing more than others?
I don't know. For a while, I really was into horror and comedy. And I was pretty stuck in that for a while. Recently, I've been making a lot of I've made like three short films about grief in the past couple months. So I go in like these waves where I'll start making a bunch of stuff about one thing until I feel like I've gotten out of my system, and then I'll move on to something else. And right now I'm nearing the end of my grief stage. So that's good. I'm excited to get into something a little more happy maybe. But no, I don't have like a genre that I stick to. All of my stuff's really low budget, like kind of DIY stuff. I make it with my friends for free on the weekends. And so that kind of lends itself to a certain type of movie. But you know, I try to, if I had the resources, I would definitely love to do more genre stuff. But at this point, it's pretty difficult.
I guess to piggyback off of a lot of your projects you've done, is there any that for people who are listening to that want to check them out that you would be the ones that you'd recommend to check out first?
Definitely. Yeah. So I've got a web series that we kind of cut into a big movie called Cobblestoned, like Cobblestone, but with a D at the end, that me and my friend Eric made over the course of 5 years. It was supposed to be a 7-episode web series that we were going to make while I was working on a TV show over 1 year, and it turned into this much bigger project that we just could never finish on time. But we did finish it in 2022. And so that one I'm really proud of. It's funny to see it because it, you know, we did it chronologically. So it starts off pretty rough, but I think like by the end it gets better as it goes, which is fun. And then there's another one that I made in the summer of 2022 before I started training to be a wrestler, called Playdate. And that one I made with Nix Wilde. I won't give anything away about that one, but that's got some wrestling themes in it that I think people might like, especially seeing, a younger Nix Wilde and amateur wrestler Reese Hayes together. It's fun to look back on for sure.
Now with all of that, is there anything from filmmaking you feel has helped you with wrestling?
So it's interesting you bring that up, because I shot a bunch of pretty much all of the Mr. Smalls Enjoy shows, you know, up until actually the Odyssey in last month was the first show at Mr. Smalls that I wasn't ringside shooting for. And when I started training, I used to get so annoyed with the wrestlers. Because, you know, it's like we have the hard cam here. We have the two ringside cameras on these front posts. Like, just do things that way. You know, like we're here to get you. And it would be so frustrating when they would sell to the audience on the other side, or they would, you know, be in a position where I have to run to get their reaction, whatever. It like drove me insane. And then I started wrestling, and I very quickly realized that it is the last thing that you're thinking of when you're in a wrestling match. Like, I mean, obviously there are, you know, television wrestlers and people who are really good at it. Obviously it's a skill that I'm still developing, but, I gained a lot of sympathy for wrestlers, in that regard, and realized that my foolish cameraman ways were silly. Cause yeah, you're in a match and you're getting beat up and you're exhausted. And the last thing you're thinking of is, oh yeah, the camera's over here. But it is a thing that you have to think of. So yeah, nothing from like filmmaking to wrestling necessarily, other than like some storytelling stuff for sure. But it's definitely interesting kind of looking at it from the other side.
And then last question is, this is something we like to do with all our guests. Have you heard of the Wrestling Sleaze List?
You know, only because y'all brought it up with Gianni, and I listened to that, but that I'd never heard of it before.
So it was started by Tony Khan. He confirmed it himself. Basically what we have to do is we ask you to pick a number between 1 and 460. We're going to read the rumor corresponding to that, and we're all going to see if we think it's true or not.
Okay. Are there any that I should avoid? Like, I know y'all do this. Are there any numbers that you don't want me to pick?
Nope. Go for it. Whatever you want.
Okay. Even if it's one we've done before, you might have a different opinion on it than whoever picked it before, but we're not worried about it.
All right. Give me number 42.
42. All right.
Almost towel day.
Mae Young and Fabulous Moolah are a lesbian couple. I don't get gay. I never got gay vibes from them. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no as well. Mae strikes me as somebody who might have experimented after a couple of drinks, but I don't get that vibe from Moolah at all.
I'm going to say yes. Yes, 100%.
Reese, Jess, would you like to interject?
After you, you go first, Jess.
I just want everybody to imagine Moolah fisting May. That's what I want.
Oh, no, that's
not why would you do that?
Is that how the hand was actually born?
Yes.
That's going to be a no for me. I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm going to say I definitely think that there was some experimentation there. I don't think you're friends with somebody like that for so long and things not get a little heated, you know, one night. And I've seen them at WrestleMania, you know, several of them. Like, the vibes are interesting. So I'm not going to say a lesbian couple, but there's something there for sure.
I will concede that they probably have at least kissed.
Yeah.
I think for them, it's probably more of a Golden Girls situation where they've got each other, but it doesn't go there. That's what I'm thinking.
All right, Jess, I'll hand it off to you with that.
So, speaking of just TV shows in general, what has been like the latest thing that you've been watching? Because it's always easy, I guess, to ask people what their favorite TV show or movie is. But I feel like you get a better sense of what someone's into with what they're watching in the moment.
Sure. Yeah. I'm like not the biggest TV person, which is really annoying for my girlfriend because she loves TV. But there's something about it that's really frustrating for me. I just like I'm not patient enough, I think, a lot of the times. We did start the Fallout show last night and I've never played Fallout. So that's been fun so far. Our big one that we finished recently, we're obviously a little bit behind, but we watched Succession. Really like Succession. We kind of breezed through that over like a 2 month period or so, and that was great. Oh man, what are those things we've been watching? I mean, that might be it as far as like what I've been watching for new stuff. We've been slowly making our way through the X-Files. So that's been taking a lot of time, but pretty deep into that. And then, I mean, my favorite show ever is Twin Peaks. And I watch Twin Peaks like once a year. So that's big for me. That's kind of like in a constant rotation in my mind. But, I don't know. Y'all got any good recommendations?
I mean, I just, gushed about Fallout cause I played the games. I loved it. I hope it gets 10 seasons. It's so good. I really, really enjoyed it.
You watched the whole thing already?
Yeah.
Nice.
I started Friday and I finished Saturday, so.
Nice. All right, we'll keep watching. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm also not a TV person. There's very few shows that I'll actually watch. It's more just here and there I'll pop in, but mostly movies is what I end up watching. But the last show that I really liked, which, you know, ties into Fallout, is Justified. That's one that I really like. It's got Walton Goggins in it, so.
Nice. Yeah, I love Walton Goggins. Big Walton Goggins fan over here.
Absolutely.
I also highly recommend the Twisted Metal series if you haven't watched that yet, based on the video game as well. Very fun. I think they finally figured out how to do video game TV shows and make them work properly. So,
unless your name is Halo.
What was that, Jess?
Unless your name is Halo.
Yeah. That's show sucks.
It's crazy to me that they were trying to make video game movies for so long. Like, TV seems like the obvious choice to do that. I mean, The Last of Us was awesome, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to see this trend continue. But like, I mean, I've seen a lot of video game movies and I've liked, I don't know, maybe two of them. But these shows have been good so far.
I got to know which two.
Well, OK, so I admittedly liked the Super Mario Brothers movie. The new one. I mean, the old one's
okay,
fine.
Okay, okay.
I like the animated one. I'm a big Mario fan, but that one was fun.
Oh, it was a blast. Like, even as an adult, it's a blast.
Definitely. And then, what was the other? I'm kind of a secret fan of the original Mortal Kombat movie. I think that movie slaps in
many ways. That one still holds up. The one after it, not so much. But.
Yeah.
So I'll do you one better. My favorite video game movie adaptation is Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raul Julia.
Here's what I'll say about Street Fighter. It's a really bad Street Fighter movie, but it's a fucking fantastic G.I. Joe movie.
That's fair. I'll accept that. And the fact they're doing a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover movie finally is very interesting to me, even though I didn't care for the Transformers movies.
Or the G.I. Joe movies.
I love the G.I. Joe movies. I don't give a shit. I grew up playing with G.I. Joes. I'll fucking watch G.I. Joe. Hell yeah. Give it to me.
All right, before we get too far, I'll throw it back to you, Jeff.
No, you're all good. So you also touched on how you were you played sports when you were younger. And I just happened to see someone pull it up, have a little Twitter discussion about it. Do you have a favorite Gatorade flavor, or did you like sports drink?
I don't know. I mean, I like the, I guess I don't have a favorite cause I don't like drink it often, but when I did drink it, or when I get the option, I like the, is it the Frost one? The one's like light blue, maybe it's called Frost. I don't know. That one's good though. I'm a big water guy. Sure,
something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that. I don't know. I just drink a lot of water. I drink water and tea. That's like, and right now I'm drinking wine. But yeah, I'm not big into like the Gatorades or like a lot of caffeinated stuff. It makes me boring, I guess. But yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have a better answer for that.
No, you're all good. A IW guy, Luminary, started posting about cucumber lime Gatorade, and it's become a little bit of a spatting. So nice. Just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, the cucumber lime can acquire taste that I have not acquired.
Mm. Nope.
So one last one for me. Unlike most of the people that we have guests on this podcast that are as new to the business as you are, you have had a Twitter for a very long time, relatively speaking. Mm. And I'm sorry to do this, but in 2009, you had a tweet that caught my attention, and I would like some elaboration if you don't mind.
Whoa, okay, hold up. This was a thing that I had tried to do years ago, which was delete like my whole Twitter thing. It's still there. I have to do more. There's probably just don't go digging more. There's like gotta be some terrible shit in there, I imagine. What's it say? All right, here. Okay, hit me. Go. What is it?
Also, just a casual reminder, if you want Butters to cut this out, you can.
We'll see
it's
how
not
bad,
too bad
it is.
I don't think.
We'll see. Let's see what's up.
So yeah, November 16th, 2009, and then in all caps, WWE made in all lowercase Hulk Hogan, yet he turns around and goes to TNA. I hate him. Would you care to expand on any other reasons why you hate Hulk Hogan?
That's not that bad, I guess. You know, dude just following the bag, I guess. I don't know. I really have no opinions on Hulk Hogan at all. I don't pay attention to him. So that's funny. I probably started watching wrestling in like 2005, 2006. I don't know, somewhere around there. And it's all I knew about wrestling at all. And I was definitely one of those like wrestling fans who didn't even know about TNA until Hulk Hogan showed up. So that was definitely one of those things where, and again, I'm 13 years old in this tweet. Let's not forget that. That was definitely just my pure dismay and feelings of betrayal against Hulk Hogan, who I thought was, I probably didn't even know what WCW was. Like I had no idea about anything. But no, I don't know. I don't fucking care. Hulk Hogan can fucking shove it for all I care. I don't know. Print that, y'all. That's a shoot.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about Hulk Hogan.
No, I'll let you know that my first intro to wrestling, I think of it in my head as Muppets and Puppets into wrestling. It was two Hulk Hogan cameos, him in Gremlins 2, and then him in Muppets in Space. You get the classic red and yellow Hogan for Gremlins 2, and then you get NWO Hogan for Muppets in Space. And I was like, you know what? This bad Terry guy, there's got to be a reason why he's in these things.
That's funny. So. Yeah, I mean, to be totally honest, like I remember seeing Hulk Hogan and being like, that's Thunderlips. Like that's where I was at. Like I was a Rocky fan before I was a wrestling fan. But also, okay, so how did you find this tweet? Were you just like scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, or can you like look up dates? Like how do I get rid of this stuff?
So the easiest way to clear out your thing is if it's usually on the web version and you can type in from date to date. I just chose random words and then just scrolled to see what I found. So I literally just typed in the word yet, because that's sort of like a common word that may or may not lead to anything specific. And so you just kind of do it that way.
That's funny. There's got to be some real embarrassing stuff on there. I mean, yeah, I was like a early Twitter user, like a, like, yeah, 13, 12. I don't know. Like,
yeah, we were trying to figure out if you were legally able to make that tweet as through Twitter's terms and services.
Just barely, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, geez. That's rough.
So, random fun movie fact. Muppets from Space is the only movie in recorded history not named Ready to Rumble to have two former WCW World Champions in it. It's not only Hulk Hogan and David Arquette in that movie as well. You can't count Ready to Rumble because it's a WCW movie, but...
I know that David Arquette was in a direct-to-TV Muppets Christmas movie, which was an adaptation of It's a Wonderful Life, which I liked a lot. It was very fun. Joan Cusack was the Mr. Potter character. That was fun.
All right, brothers, what do you got?
So, Reese, you're the only wrestler that I know of that has an IMDb page.
It's a little embarrassing, to be honest.
I quickly found it, and I wasn't sure it was you, so I had to confirm.
Yeah.
But you worked on a little show on Netflix called Mindhunter, and it's one of my all-time favorite shows, and I'm very sad that we're not getting another season. Do you got any fun stories you could tell us about that show?
I don't know. So, I mean, I could just give you the rundown. I worked on it. I worked on both seasons. I came in late into season one. The TV shows are often shot in blocks. So they'll shoot a couple episodes, like at a time, essentially like two episodes usually or something. And so like mix and match and just do the whole thing. And there were five blocks in season one. I came in probably at the beginning of block three or something. So like roughly halfway through. I was 20, probably, maybe 19. It was my first job like in the film industry. I had moved to Pittsburgh like the year before, worked whatever jobs for a couple months, and then finally just like knew somebody who was on Mindhunter, and they're like, we need an office PA. And I would just happen to be on Facebook right then. I was like, I need a job. I'm destitute right now. And so I got it, and I thought that it was like going to be the coolest shit in the world. And I learned a lot, and I met a bunch of really cool people. And it was one of my most awful experiences ever. Can't even describe to you how miserable I was during both seasons of that show. And that has nothing to do with the show. The show itself is amazing. One of my favorite shows too. And I'm a huge David Fincher fan, which was a big reason why I was so excited about that. But yeah, man, I think in Pittsburgh, in the film community, it's kind of notorious for being a really difficult show to work on. And I was like kind of right in the thick of it, not on set, but still in the office. It was just brutal. Like I was working 16-hour days sometimes, like, just, you know, and you don't make much money as a PA. You get a lot of overtime. But that's pretty much my whole experience of it. Some fun stuff though. I got to drive around a bunch of the directors. So I got to drive around Andrew Dominik. He had directed The Assassination of Jesse James, which is a movie I love. I got to drive around this guy named Asif Kapadia, who he directed. He was a documentary filmmaker, and he made documentaries about Amy Winehouse and I don't know. Another one called Senna. I can't remember what Senna's first name is. He was like a Formula One race car driver. Anyway, and I got to drive Fincher once, which was really cool. So like those experiences stand out as like really formative and like getting to kind of pick these dudes' brains, but in a very professional, like, I'm 20 years old driving you to the grocery store kind of way. But I don't know. What was some fun stuff? It was crazy. I don't know. It was... I mean, the show's awesome, but yeah, it was, it got me out of the film industry. I mean, I still will do it sometimes, but I definitely, after working that, realized that I didn't want to be like a career production assistant. So switch gears in that way.
So I know that they have them up in Cleveland, but does Pittsburgh have any of the 48-hour just competitions?
Have you done any of those? Yeah, I have. I did it one time. So they'll do two of them. They'll do one in the summer, and then one in the fall that they usually do like a horror one.
Yeah.
And so I did it once in the summer, and it's a really difficult way to make movies, you know, because they give you a line of dialogue, a prop, and a character and a genre. And so everyone gets the same line of dialogue, character, and prop, and then everyone gets a different genre, or like you pick it from a fucking hat, you know? And so the one time I did it, I got fantasy or musical, and which just, you know, happens to be two of the most difficult genres to make a movie in 48 hours. And so we did like a really silly fantasy movie that was like, basically like if Harry Potter was at a graduate school. And so we had like people, I don't know. I don't even know. It wasn't good. You know, we made it in a
they
weekend.
They never are.
No. Yeah. But no, it's, yeah, it's tough. It's not an easy way to make a movie. I really, for me, the longest process is writing, and to have to write something in like 6 hours that you're going to shoot in the morning is like so stressful. I really admire the folks who do it every year. But yeah, it's tough. It's not easy. One thing I have been doing, this is kind of unrelated, but one thing I have started doing, I've done it twice now. There's like a whole group of filmmakers on YouTube who make a movie during the Oscars. So like the Oscars is like a 3-hour ceremony every year. And instead of watching the Oscars, people will shoot a movie for 3 hours and try to make it like technically feature length. So like 40 minutes long or something. And so I did that a couple of years ago and got like a 40-minute movie that's really boring. And then this year I did it again and made a shorter movie that I think is much better. But that's like a similar thing. But it's like, you know, it's so condensed. Like you only have 3 hours. So like you're just improvising shit and kind of going with it. It's a little more fun than trying to make like an actual short film in a weekend.
So your entrance music is Cake the Distance. How long did it take you to figure out that that's what you wanted to use as your entrance music?
It was roughly right after I came up with the name Amateur Wrestler Rises. I was like, yeah, it's going to be Cake for sure. And it's funny because that's like my least favorite Cake song. Like I love Cake, but like the Distance is like, for a while I thought it was annoying. I was like, why? Like they've got so many good songs. Why is this one so popular? And now it's like, it's funny. It's like grown on me, which is kind of funny.
Was there anything else that you thought of before that? Or was that just, that was always it?
That was the one when I was on my losing streak. I was like, this is it. There's nothing else I could use conceivably. I have a whole playlist of like different songs that I would like to use for like different characters or like different iterations of the character, I guess, that have not happened yet. But like there were big ones. What's the B-52's Rome was one that I really love. And that's one that I thought that me and Nick's Wild would use as a tag team entrance. And we did use it one time when we wrestled for like Enjoy's B show at Bottle Rocket. And it just didn't hit that well. And I was bummed because I was like so stoked to use it. And I think it just, I don't know, it didn't get the pop I wanted, I guess. I thought Rome was going to get a pop from like Mary Kate and Ashley fans or something. And then the other one was Rhythm of the Night, which I love. And I did use that. I've used that a couple of times and that one's always really fun. But no, I've got like a whole list of songs I want to use that I think would be really fun. It's just like the right moment has to call for it. And right now, like at the Distance, it's kind of perfect. It's really good.
Yeah. When you said you moved to Pittsburgh, where did you live originally?
So originally I'm from Tennessee, lived there till I was like 10. My whole family's down there still. And then went to like middle school and high school in middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. Like north central part of the state, Potter County, little town called Countersport, population of like 2,500 people. And then I went to film school for a year in North Carolina. And then after that, moved to Pittsburgh. So I've been here for like 8 years or so.
Is there a food spot that you would recommend that's not well known in Pittsburgh? Something that's, you know, a personal favorite that you don't think a lot of people know about. That's like a locals only kind of thing.
Drool, yeah, not from Manny, brother.
Yeah, not from Manny. I don't know. So there's this one, my favorite restaurant in the city is probably kind of well known, I would imagine. Although everyone I tell about, they never hear or have heard of it. It's called umami, and it's like a kind of like a fancy Japanese sushi place, but you have to climb like three stories of like this winding staircase to get to it. And then it's like it's really nice and small, and they have some like the best fried chicken that I've ever had outside of Japan, which is like just really good. And that one's in Lawrenceville, so I don't know. It's definitely like a nicer restaurant though. So I'm sure every time I've gone there, it's been packed. But man, I don't know. There's like Frank's Hot Dogs. That place is really good. That's also in Lawrenceville. There's a bunch of places in the Strip District that are just like little shops that I really like. I don't want to give all of them away though, you know, because then we get you all Cleveland folks in here.
I mean, you know, I gotta find some place to eat when I'm down there. I don't want to just go to like the usual places. So.
Okay, so here's one that's in New Kent that's right down the street. It's not a restaurant, it's a bakery, but it's called Sweet Alchemy, and their hours are whack. Like they're open like 3 days a week on, you know, Saturday from like 10 to noon or something. Like it's crazy. But it's this vegan bakery, and they have some of the most amazing donuts and like homemade Pop-Tarts that I've ever had. But I can never, I mean, I'm on fucking Fifth Avenue in New Kent like 4 times a week, and I never get to go to this place. But if you can get some of those Pop-Tarts, get one for me, will you?
Okay. I'm trying to think anything else I really want to ask you about. Well, you mentioned Japan. What, did you just go on like a trip there? Did you stay there for a while?
Yeah, my brother is in the Marines, and he was stationed out in Okinawa for a couple like 2 years or something. And so I visited him in over like Thanksgiving 1 year and spent like 2 weeks there. So I've never been to like mainland Japan, but Okinawa was pretty dope, that's for sure.
This phone call is from the Den of Desires,
Ah,
Marco.
oh no.
Yeah. So here we go.
Hello, AW Guide. This is Pittsburgh's very own Hoggord himself, Marco Narciso, calling. The following inquiry is for a one amateur wrestler, Reese Hayes. Reese, I was just wondering, do you like intentionally not bathe or wash your clothes, or do you just like not have access to the proper equipment? Because if that's the case, the Den of Desire will gladly and graciously allow you to rent out our own utilities for the purposes of your improvement in hygiene. Yeah. And not only that, but we'll even allow you to give us manicures while doing our own laundry for us as well. I know, we're just that charitable. And don't worry, we'll be sure to provide you food and water as well with only our finest dog bowls suited just for you. All right. I have some desirable activities I must attend to. See you in a squash match. XO, Marco Narciso.
Dang.
Sounds like quite the enticing offer.
For some of us.
Didn't even think about that,
Jeez.
but for Marcy, yeah, that's.
Didn't see how I perked up?
Oh, I did. I did. And I was like, that makes complete sense. Why did I even think of that when it was being discussed?
Arf, baby boy.
Yeah, well, I don't really have much to say about that.
Oh, boy. You don't want to defend your hygiene? Do you smell? Are you a smelly kid?
I don't know. I think I'm pretty clean. I think I'm very clean. I think I smell great.
You wash your gear?
Yeah, I've got four singlets. I got four pairs of shoes. My knee pads be stanky, but I don't even wear those in matches. So I don't know. I don't have anything to say about that. I will. I said this was going to be a shoot, so I'm shooting now. Marco got mad heat with me for no reason. I honestly don't get it. I've been nothing but nice to Marco, to Honey, to Blizzy. Like, I mean, I gave Marco his only title shot, and like that was out of the goodness of my heart. And then I don't know what his deal is. He was pretty rude on the entire trip to Philly. That was a disaster, but I didn't want to have to bring any of this up, but I just thought that was kind of uncalled for. Yeah, I don't know. I'm happy that the Den is doing well and they've got a lot of fans, but one of these days folks are going to see the true side of Marco Narciso, and I don't know. I don't think they're going to like it.
All right. I did get a message from Shelby. Shelby was supposed to call, but Shelby had a layover and had some issues with his flight, so he wasn't able to call in, but he did want to let you know that he is coming for the 880 championship that is rightfully his.
Good. I can't wait for him to come back. I'm so stoked for that.
I think he just has a big target on his face now, so I feel like everybody's just gonna, you know, go for that jaw, and that's...
Yeah, I'd be lucky if he wrestles me. I don't really attack the face often. I'm more of like a upper neck kind of guy. But I mean, either way, he's going to be hurting, so it'll be good. But I'm sure I'll be hurting too. Like, Shelby's a tough dude. It's just winning, no offense, but winning a podcast popularity contest does not make you 880 champion.
I can't disagree with that more. I think that popularity contests are the way that you crown champions.
Yeah, I mean, maybe y'all's championship, I don't know, but not
mine. No, we're having a fatal four-way at the show. It's happening. I don't know who the other two people are yet. We're gonna find out next week.
I was about to say, is it time to... it's not time to announce the third entrant yet.
From what I understand, we're going to find out who they are the week of, so leading up to the show.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited to find out who is going to wrestle for this. But I'm just excited that we have Mikey and Derek in the ring at 880. That's just a good time right there to start off with. So
yeah, it's going to be really, really good.
Shelby said he's going to come down and do commentary. Nice. So it'll be a good time. I talked about possibly doing commentary on it as well. A three-man booth will be interesting. I just want to, you know, pop in with here and there with when there's something, but I think that maybe, I don't know, we'll see. I might just watch the show.
Who all is coming down next week?
Well, I'll be refereeing that four-way match. So,
I wanted Jared, who's been refereeing for like 15 years, to do it. So he'll make his 880 debut. Jess will be there. Marcy is DJing at intermission.
Right. Hell yeah.
So it's an IW guy takeover. We're all going to be there. We're all going to be partying and having a good time. I'll be hanging with the Anderson brothers. You know how that goes.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
If I have my way, it'll be more than the intermission.
we'll see what's going on, I guess, you know.
I'm leaving that open there. If there's an opening, that's not just intermission.
I think if a lot of these Fridays on 5th shows are very weather dependent, but if the weather's good, people hang out for a while after the show. So let's pull for some nice weather on the 26th.
Yeah, I hope it's nice, because I don't want to either be super hot to where I feel like I'm going to pass out, or it be raining outside and miserable. So
yeah, when it rains, it's really rough. I mean, it's better than the snow, I guess, but it's not ideal.
I would probably take being cold outside over rain or just the miserable hot that it was that one night, because I literally thought I was going to die in the building. So
which
hot.
Night? It's like every summer show.
It was a Friday. It was a Friday show.
It was the July one. It was
the July one. Yeah, I was just... I even wore like a tank top and stuff, and I was still just miserable. It was...
Yeah,
I thought I was going to die.
It's tough, and we have AC in there too, but when you get, you know, 150 people in there, it doesn't seem to help.
I think with the way where the ring's at now, I think it's a little bit better, because you have that other side that you can kind of go over to, and I feel like that might make a bit of a difference, because it was just like so crowded with everybody around. I think if you get over that one side where it's, you know, people have their seats or whatever down up against the wall, I think that might be a little bit better to deal with. So
for sure, yeah.
That's probably where I'll probably try to hide.
Nice, yeah. It's a good view over there.
Yeah, I'm super excited for it. I've been wanting to come back down for quite a while, so it's time. Now we're doing the title match, and who knows what else will happen. I think I'm going to do Taco Mania on May 5th. I was convinced that I should do that, so... Because who can turn down tacos and wrestling? Like, free wrestling,
it's really
and tacos.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year was so much fun. And by the end of the night, they were just giving away free drinks.
Oh, nice. Because
there was like this one stand or like booth that would doing like frozen margs, and they couldn't do anything with them. They didn't sell all of it, and so they just started passing them out, and so we're like tearing down the ring, and we're just getting hammered. It was really bad, but we had a lot of fun. It's a really good time, and everyone after that show, I mean, we were all in the battle royal. Just everyone afterwards just has like a massive sunburn. So it's a lot of fun, you know. It's really good. I'm excited for y'all to be there, or at least for you to be there.
Yeah, I'm working on getting some people to come with me, so we have a little group of us to come down and check it out. So I heard some rumblings of one of the possible matches for the show, and I have to be there live to see it. So I
think it'll be really gonna be some cool good ones. That's one of the benefits of being in with the Enjoy production crew is I get some dirt sheet material every now and then.
So tell me about Enjoy, because like I really love what they do, the production and stuff. Who do they use? Like, what? How does that all come together? Because like they have that, you know, we had Odyssey, and now they have this amount of time before we'll see it on YouTube and on that other channel.
Yeah, Remix.
Yeah. What all goes into it? Because a lot of these other shows, like they shoot them on the fly, and everything's kind of good to go from there. Do you know, like from start to finish, like why it takes so long for these to come out? Is there like additional stuff that's done? Like how does everything fit together? Like is it one person doing it? What's going on that it takes a little bit more time?
Yeah, it's almost exclusively Scotty Swemba. So Scotty is one of the owners of Enjoy, and he is the big production guy. That's all he really does. I mean, he definitely helps with booking and everything, but like he's doing all of it. So they do rent a lighting company, mm-hmm. Who comes in and lights Mr. Smalls and everything. And then, and Scotty like rents the cameras, but he is editing everything. He does all of the graphics. He doesn't do the posters for the show anymore, but he does all of the, you know, like the green screen, like moving graphics that they do.
Okay.
Yeah. He does all that. He does everything. And he also, I mean, that's his job. So he does like actual motion graphics, like freelance work. He'll take me out to Cincinnati every now and then, and we'll shoot stuff there. Like he's working constantly, and Enjoy is like his passion project. Okay. But it's a ton of work, so I'll go and help him edit the matches every now and then. Earlier on I was doing it a lot more because I had more time, and recently I haven't been able to help as much. Like I went down there last week and I edited Edith and Ray Lynn, and so he had edited the other four matches before that and then was editing the Odyssey after. So it's like it's just tough. It's a lot of work, like editing one match to a point that's like good and watchable takes like 2 hours depending on how long the match is, and then him doing all the motion graphics and just everything just takes a lot of time. But I mean, it's so polished and it looks so good, and there's really sometimes you just gotta wait for it, I guess. But it's interesting seeing the other side of it, because you know, Thursday Night Fights and our shows, we work with Michael Sorg, mm-hmm. who does like Sorgatron Meteor Sidekick. He's got like three different names for his thing. I'm not sure which one he uses. But he does everything, like you said, on the fly. So they have a whole system. All the cameras are wired through SDI, and they go into the thing, and either Sorg himself or his wife, Missy, are up there actually switching live. And then they've pre-made all of like the lower thirds. And I don't know how they do the replay stuff, but they're doing all of that stuff just baked in as the show is going on. And so like there's huge benefits to that, because in a lot of ways wrestling is, you know, tailored for a live audience. But like the benefits of doing it how Scotty does it with Enjoy is that you get a little bit more production quality, and you know, you can edit out mistakes. Like there's stuff that's happened in matches where, you know, with a three camera setup, if it's really bad, and this is getting a little too behind the curtain, I guess, but you can just get rid of it, you know, mm-hmm. and no one ever notices or would ever know unless they were there and saw it live. And so like, there's some things like that are just really helpful. But yeah, Scotty's big on production. He's got a way that he wants things to look. You know, we also go down, like, we're going down this week actually to shoot Ashe in North Carolina. That's Darius Lockhart's company. And so we're actually going down with Missy and Sorg. And so we're like kind of combining what we do. And this is the third time we've done this now, where we're doing it live, but Scotty has like put presets in the cameras so that it's colored a certain way. And, you know, he's made all these graphics that can be put in live. And it's like, you know, we've done two shows so far and both of them have been a little bit messy, and it's just a big learning process. And so like someday I think Enjoy will go live, but it's not going to be until, you know, Scotty knows that he can have it look exactly the way he wants it to look, and still be able to do it like that. But
I don't mind the wait. If that's how it came off, I don't mind that. I was curious, like if there was like just the reasoning why, because I know like some people talk about like, oh, it's out, but we got to wait till this. It works for me because by the time the episodes drop and then once they all air, we review them. And it's nice because then like usually I don't remember fully what all I watched on the show, so then it's like watching it new again, which is really cool. But I really enjoy everything they do there, like with the graphics and everything, and you can really tell they do spend a lot of time on all that because it comes off very well polished. I know the AIW crew has like jumped in and started doing a lot of that stuff too, so it's one of those things like I have always been super interested in that, and I really wish that was like a thing when I got out of school, that it was like a thing at the time, because I would have loved to have got involved with a wrestling company that had that kind of stuff and like learned to do it all. And then like, I think that would be like something I would really enjoy doing as like a job.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with that is there's just not much money in it.
Right. Exactly. You know? Unfortunately.
But yeah. I mean, that's how I got into it is, I saw, Darius Lockhart and Lee Moriarty. And, it was my introduction to Enjoy, and I was blown away by how it looked and just the whole presentation of it. And I was like, well, that's what I want to do. I've never seen especially like an indie wrestling show that looked that way. And I was like, oh, these guys are brand new basically. And they're in Pittsburgh. And so I just started spamming them on Twitter and Instagram. And I was like, hey, let me help. And then they're like, all right, here's a big ass camera, do that. And I was like, all right, here we go.
So what was like your first memory of wrestling?
It's really silly. I just randomly was like given a Shelton Benjamin action figure, and I was like, oh, this is badass, I love this. And I like brought it to school, like I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and my buddy was like, oh yeah, that's Shelton Benjamin, and he was like, I have his tag team partner Charlie Haas. He like brought it in the next day. And I was like, who are these guys? Like, I don't know who these dudes are. And so I started watching SmackDown like shortly after that, and was, you know, very quickly a big Rey Mysterio fan. And you know, I was into it for a while. I got out of it for a really long time, got back into it around like, I don't know, the Daniel Bryan stuff, I guess. And then actually when I was 19 and I moved to Pittsburgh, I was going to go train at PWX, which is in this little town called McKeesport. And I went to a show, and this would have been 2015. I went to a couple shows, but the first one I went to had MV Young on the show, David Lawless, Gannon Jones Jr., Jack Pollock might have been on the show, but I'm not sure. But anyway, so I went and I met like the owner and had a pretty bad experience there. Like the show was fun, but like talking to some of these guys and like being backstage was like, all right, this is just isn't for me. And so I kind of gave up on that dream pretty quick. And then it wasn't until all the Enjoy stuff happened that I was like, yeah, I could probably do it. But yeah, I guess, sorry, that was a long way to say that.
No, it's, you know, it's interesting because we didn't really touch on it, so I wanted to make sure we did. One of the other things I usually do ask about is pre-show ritual. So like before you come out, do you have anything specific that you do?
Big thing for me is I just get soaking wet. I get absolutely drenched, and everyone makes fun of me for it. I have a lot of hair, as you can tell, and it's thick, and it just it takes a really long time to get absolutely dripping wet. And that's the big thing. And it makes people mad, because, you know, it's a slipping hazard and all that. But that's my big thing. I just have to get, if I'm not soaked, I'm not in the zone. So that's it.
Are you the reason that Toddy blew out his knee?
I am. Yeah.
Yep. I didn't think it was actually you.
I figured you had talked about this or something.
He didn't say who. He just said a wrestler. He didn't want to name you.
All right, no, I'll tell what happened. So it was at I can't totally blame myself, but it was at one of the no ring shows at Spirit, which is this bar, and it's like a real slick floor anyway. But I was wrestling or fighting Jace Car Race Car pre race car gimmick. And he swung a crutch, ironically enough, so hard across my back that it like shattered. And I mean, there's footage of it. But pretty much right after that, I'm like reeling in pain. And Toddy slips on like the cushiony part of the crutch, I think. And he just falls straight to his knee. And that was that. But yeah, so I can't say it's because I was soaking wet. It might have had something to do with it, but more so, it was Jace Car Race Car slamming a crutch against my back. But yeah, I was there.
Damn Jace Car Race Car.
I know, right?
And that's why you can't trust race car drivers.
That's right.
I didn't say it, but
there's only one race car driver I trust.
An anti hero on the IW Guide podcast. do not like the name, and now he hurt my friend Toddy Tondera.
He hurt one of our favorites.
Yeah, and I'm just, he's going to have, you find me at the show, because I'm sure he listens, Jace Car, Race Car, you find me at the show, and you apologize to my face, what you've done.
He didn't mean to hurt Toddy. He meant to hurt me, which he did. So in that way, he succeeded. But yeah,
I'm totally joking. The Anderson brothers always like bring people over that I've joked about or like talk shit on and introduce me to them so that it's super awkward because they think it's really funny.
Yeah, those dudes are fun, right?
I love them for that. But they need to knock that off because like Beast Man, I fucking hate Beast Man. I don't know him personally, but I don't care for Beast Man whatsoever, not even cool Beast Man. And I've talked some massive shit on Beast Man, and I was at a Neo Pro show and he was at it and he walked by me and I was like, oh man, I'm glad he doesn't listen and nobody's told him that I've talked massive shit on him. Cause I don't want to.
Wait, I haven't heard this. Just give me the TLDR. Why do you hate Beast Man?
He's just not for me. It's just not for me. It's 2024. Like there's other shit you could do. Like,
I wonder if that's cool, like fun in wrestling. So you can like
that's not true. That's not true. I fucking love Danhausen. I liked other wrestlers that were comedy wrestlers. Comedy wrestling has always been one of my favorite things. Okay. Who do you kind of style yourself after? Who do you watch? What do you watch when you do watch like film to like pick things up or like get ideas for stuff? Who are people that you watch all the time?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of embarrassing because like my favorite wrestlers are, you know, often cited as like the best wrestlers, which is like, you know, I guess the little hipster in me is ashamed of myself, but I love Bryan Danielson. I love Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. I love Bret Hart. Ray, obviously big Shawn Michaels guy.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. You know, we don't like Bret Hart on this podcast. At least most of us don't.
Why? What is there not to like?
Speak for yourself, dude.
I think Butters is the only one, honestly.
I think Butters is the only one.
Really? I'm the only one that doesn't like Bret Hart? Come on. Bret Hart, all he does is complain about Goldberg. That's all that guy does.
Okay, wait. Yeah. Okay, you don't like him personally or like as a wrestler?
I never cared for him as a wrestler either. I liked his brother Owen way better.
I respect him as
I liked Bruce Hart more than Bret Hart.
I respect him as an A-plus hater.
Hold on. You like Bruce Hart more than Bret Hart?
Yeah.
Okay. Brewcart doesn't like Brewcart more than Bret Hart. What the fuck are you talking about right now? I take that back. Brewcart probably like Brewcart more than anybody like Brewcart, but you get my point.
Bryan Danielson, best wrestler in the world. I will die on that hill. I don't think anybody will ever be better than him. For sure. He's my number one. I really, really like him a lot.
Yeah. He's hard not to like. Let me ask you all this, if I can switch gears roughly. So I've listened to Only like a handful of episodes of your show. Most of them being the reviews of our shows.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about 880 that like that y'all like, or that I guess a different way to answer that is y'all have been watching since Misconnections last year, which is like mm-hmm. really like our first like kind of big show. Like what's been something that you've seen over the past year that's like keeping y'all watching?
Honestly, for me, I just love the vibe of the shows, like the look, the feel, everything to it has that nice little like underground feel that I just adore about indie wrestling. Like, don't get me wrong, I can appreciate like nice production values and stuff, but I love like how it feels, like how it can feel like really nice, like you give you that gritty feeling. I always get that watching 880.
Yeah, you got Toddy on commentary, you got some guys that I don't really know or didn't really know at the time, and then you had like our Cleveland guys mixed in, so it was a really nice mix. So you got to see some like Cleveland guys before they actually made their big debut, which was like really why I first tuned in, was to see some of them like kind of see what, you know, what they were doing. And then I stuck around because I enjoyed what you guys were doing. I like that mix. I like that mix to me is a good thing. Like if you can bring in people from like, I know you guys bring in people from like the other side of PA, like from Philly and stuff like that. And you get this mix going of everybody. So like you guys as young talent are learning from all these different people from everywhere, but the Cleveland Pittsburgh mix is what I really enjoyed because you guys mesh so well. You guys are all so talented. And then there's just lots of like dream matchups to come out of that. Like it's very much like when that kind of started to like go away is when we kind of faded out on it too, because like I felt like that mix is what I really liked. And like I love the building. I've been there two or three times, I think twice. Really love it. Love the vibes there. Like it's a really nice time. Everybody's great, and I think that adds to it as well. But I think the most of it is like the mix of talent that's there. Like I like seeing like young up and coming people, and just like mixing it up with everybody. It's a lot of fun. And then when you can do like, there's a lot of like fun angles you guys have done. David Wallace.
I was gonna say there's also just a lot of general fun characters.
Yeah, like David Wallace, like the Dangerous Knights crew is really fun. Like, you know, the Den of Desire is really cool and different. There's a lot of different things. Like you had your story going with, you know, your losing streak and trying to get, you know, win the big one, and like that was really great. Then like you got MV just like beating the shit out of people and being, you know, doing beefy boy shit, which is always great. There's just a lot of like everybody had like a thing. It was kind of like almost like Attitude Era style, where like everybody had a thing that was going on. Like you had the Wildflowers, you had like that feud, like, oh, you know, the Cleveland guys did this, well guess what, well here comes some more people from Pittsburgh to like jump in on it. And it was like just an ever mixing, you know, melting pot of like this ongoing feuds with everybody. It was a really fun time. Like it just that's what really drew me in, was just there was just a lot of the mixing pot of all the talent. So
yeah, it's been, oh sorry, go ahead.
It's that mix of talents for me as well, but in my case it's getting a chance to see some guys that I've worked with in the past but haven't seen in a while. Jack Pollock, a guy I've roughed a lot of his matches a number of years ago, haven't had a chance to really work with him lately. Keith Hawk, another one. We're getting a chance to see some of those guys mixed in with guys I'm working with now and guys I've never worked with. I just love the unique dichotomy of all the world kind of coming together.
How long was your losing streak? Did you beat Goldberg winning streak with your losing streak? No?
No, I had 44 consecutive losses.
Okay.
Over like 8 or 9 months.
I wonder how baked Brian Myers' loss streak was.
It was more than Goldberg. It was 249, I think, 289, over 200.
But how long was that streak, though? Was it multiple years?
If you give me about a minute and a half, I can double check that for you. It will go over a year for sure.
Okay.
See, I thought we could have kept the losing streak going. I was like, I was in it for the long run, but everyone around me was like, it's run its course. I was like, all right, whatever. I don't make the rules.
Yeah, I think eventually you have to, like, especially after you've done like the where you win and then they reverse it type thing. Like, there's only so many different things you can do like that. And then finally, you just got to be able to pull it off. So
yeah, and now I'm starting to annoy people with the flash pins. Everyone's like, you need a real finish. And I'm like, brother, flash pins forever.
I mean, there's a lot of good moves. You name like two guys that have a lot of moves that I think would fit perfectly for you, and Kurt Angle and Bryan Danielson. Like, they have a shit ton of moves that you could just pick one and like perfect it and it'll be yours. Like, you just gotta figure out which one you want to use. But yeah, flash pens are always fun too, because if you can get creative with them, then it's always super fun to like, how's this gonna happen? As long as it's not like, you know, one of like the five or six basic ones, if you can figure out a different one, then you know, come up with something different every time, then it's fun. Like,
I mean, also with flash pins and Bryan Danielson, there was a point in Ring of Honor he was known as Mr. Small Package.
This is true.
Yeah,
that could be,
and he's one of the greats, so you can't argue against that.
Yeah, and then, you know, that could be the next version of Rhys Hayes, Mr. Small Package.
Small
Package Jr.
Yeah, I'll just steal that.
All right, so it looks like Curt Hawkins' losing streak was about 2.5 years, October of 2016 up until WrestleMania 2019.
So yours was only like less than a year, right?
Yeah, it was like 8 or 9 months, something like that. Yeah. Rookie numbers, man, I couldn't do shit.
It's amateur numbers. It was amateur wrestler Rhys Hayes numbers.
You're so right. Dang.
I think it's that time of the show where you can plug anything you got going on, anything coming up, any upcoming bookings, your socials, anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Instagram at amateur wrestler. That's a good one. I'm not really active on Twitter. I'm there, but I'm not like doing stuff. But yeah, our big show, the Family Ties Part 2, sponsored by IW Guide, is next Friday, the 26th. I'm very excited. I'm wrestling Joseph Alexander, A-Game, in the main event for the 880 Championship. Super pumped about that. Actually, have shared the ring with A-Game once before at T2T Brooklyn in March of last year, and he pinned me. So hoping to get a win back. We'll see what happens.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and SoundCloud at eGirlFemboyBoy, spelled B-O-Y. At Family Ties, I will also be DJing, so come check it out. Watch some sick wrestling and dance your ass off during my set.
You can find me at JustBonesJB. I will also be at Family Ties 2. I'll just be there.
You might be hired as my personal photographer while I'm DJing, but we'll see.
Well, you can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and TikTok at RefJHawk, Instagram at JHawk1539. I will also be at Family Ties 2 refereeing the IW Guide title match. Before that, this coming Saturday, Real Action Pro Wrestling presents Up in Smoke at the Ohio Urban Renaissance Center in Youngstown, Ohio. Ray Stewart defending the RAPW Championship in a triple threat match against Christian Kate and Jimmy James, among the action at that show. Go check that out if you're not going to AIW.
Man, a lot of weed-related shows on Saturday. Interesting.
If our opening video package at Up in Smoke that is not a parody of the Cheech and Chong movie, we're doing something wrong. I'm just throwing that out there.
You can follow my ramblings on Twitter at Charlie_Butters. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to us. Please help keep us in the top 180 wrestling podcasts. We haven't been on there in like 3 weeks. I'm starting to see a trend and I don't like it. So get us back up on there. We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/IW Guide. There's a bunch of retro episodes, a bunch of quickies with Marcy. I believe we have video game episodes up on there too. Marcy's Arcade, a bunch of other stuff, watch alongs, that kind of stuff. And we have our merch store over at brainbustertees.com, and we have our exclusive shirts with Gorilla Press Apparel at live shows. Check out our podcast friends, At Odds with Wrestling, The Card is Going to Change, and our other friends, the official graphic designer of IW Guide, JCP Designs. He just did our IW Guide title match designs. They look great. PWPonderings.com, Time Capsule Toys, Toyhio, Rubber City Toys, Big Starks Brand, Set Tab Photo, AJ Smalls Photography, Michelle Carter and Jose Rodriguez Photography, Gorilla Press Apparel, and the best barbecue in Ohio, Smoke and Jay's Barbecue. Watch some indie wrestling and support 880 on the 26th by watching on YouTube.
What? No medical advice?
I got nothing. Don't be a fool. Wrap your tool.
Don't be Kelly. Wrap your willy.
Yeah.
Get tested, everyone.
Yeah. Get tested.
Later.
Thanks for having me, y'all. This was a pleasure.
Later, dweebs.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart I have but one desire, and that one is you. No other will do. I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love. And with your admission that you feel the same, I'll have reached the goal I'm dreaming of. Believe me, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.
I don't want to set the world on fire, honey. I love you too much. I just want to start a great big flame down in your heart. You see, way down inside of me, darling, I have only one desire, and that one desire is you, and I know nobody else ain't gonna do.
I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love. And with your admission that you feel the same, I'll have reached the goal I'm dreaming of. Believe me, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.